The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down.
America, what's up? For the better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Been on the road, and really before that, I mean, even coaching, which I'm going to touch on in a second also, but during the football season, we're traveling the whole year, but after the season ended, since the team I coached, the Vipers, formerly the Tennessee Valley Vipers, now the Alabama Vipers, I'll get into that in a second, but we were on the road so much throughout the year, but there's a possibility I will actually stay in town this weekend, and I'm feeling, you know, feeling energized in a way, you know, not just about that, not just about not traveling, but no real congestion going in the nostrils. I got a good night of sleep last night, but I probably got close to 6 hours, which for me is that's a good bit of sleep. So I don't know, I'm just feeling good today, feeling energized. Just came off the road, came back from Phoenix. I was out between Phoenix and Chandler and Mesa, Arizona, that little kind of Tri-Cities area out there, a burgeoning community out there in the desert out west, called the Triumphant Sports Bowl over the weekend with Matt Rosen and Kelly Herron. Had a good time. We were in Phoenix for, what was it, maybe 5 days total, something like that, 4 or 5 days we were out there. Tough to tell in the desert. You get all these mirages out there. I kind of lose track of time, but really enjoyed the week. It was a junior college All-American game, brought all-stars from all around the country. Learned a few interesting things about some of the players, some of the programs that they came from. And apparently, California, the state of California, with their junior college football setup, because they've got so many programs throughout the state, it's actually a normal thing for California where they really don't compete with other junior colleges around the country. California stays within California. They travel within the state. Their playoffs are within the state. All their awards are within the state. So this, in the second annual Triumphant Sports Bowl, where they pit Team California, so they come up with an all-star team from junior college players around the state of California, and then they have Team USA with players from all around the rest of the country. This is the only event of its kind that pits California junior college players against players from all around the rest of the nation. It allows them to intermingle on the field and also in other events as well. They did some things with the Boys and Girls Club, and they got out in the community doing a few other activities. So it was nice to be a part of that event. I really enjoyed it. Fun game to call, and hopefully the event will continue to grow, you know, and hopefully with whatever help I'm able to be in that as far as publicity and whatever meager level of celebrity I may have or will continue to attain. I definitely I feel good about the goals and the plans for the Triumphant Sports Bowl. So it was good to be a part of that event. So did that, and also been getting some additional news this week. I touched on it a bit last week as far as what the bowl season will entail for me. I already knew it at that point last show that I was going to be calling the Capital One Bowl, so I told you about that. And so I told you there might be some other news coming as well. So I found out this week from Big Ten Network I'll also be covering the Orange Bowl. So the Capital One Bowl, New Year's Day, January 1st in Orlando, pitting Penn State versus LSU. I'll be covering that game, so I'll have some pregame hits, some postgame interviews, get to maybe wrestle with Joe Paterno because we kind of had a little run-in last Penn State game, I was a part of the broadcast on the Big Ten Network where they played against Indiana. And, you know, me and Joe Pye, we were getting along. Like, I caught one of their games earlier in the season where Penn State played against Temple. I was in the booth for that game, and we got along great. We were sharing stories about Hayden Fry and telling jokes, and Joe was loving me. He loved me the first time. Second time I called a Penn State game, or at least, you know, I was on the sidelines for this game against Indiana, and Indiana jumped out to an early lead. They were up by a couple of scores. Penn State, late in the first half, they end up tying. Yeah, I believe they tied the game. So they went in tied at 10 with Indiana into the half. And, I mean, they didn't play well at all in the first half, turning the football over, giving up yards on the ground. You know, defense wasn't playing well. Darrell Clark on his senior day wasn't looking too good. So Joe was just angry. I mean, it's my show. I'll say it. Joe was pissed off. So Joe's walking over to me, and I'm the sideline reporter. And Joe Paterno is all of, you know, 5'6"-ish, probably with his layers and layers of clothes, because man's 82 years old. And it was kind of a chilly day, you know, for that point in, you know, late November in Pennsylvania. The weather wasn't bad. Kind of a chilly day, but not as terrible as it could have been a November day in Pennsylvania. Paterno's got all his layers on, and he's 5'6", with all his clothes on, sopping wet on a dreary day. He's probably still maybe only upwards of about 160 pounds. But the man was intimidating me as he walked over to me, heading into the locker room at halftime. It was the first time I experienced this. And, you know, coaches of different sizes and different temperaments. And I've been doing this a few years now. I've been in a lot of different settings with this halftime interview. And Paterno's approaching me. And really, just a couple of weeks before that, I had had an incident with Jim Tressel where I'm interviewing Tressel going into the Ohio State locker room, and the Ohio State band is storming the field for the halftime show. And so Tressel grabs me by the arm and starts pulling me off the field. And this is on live TV. And, you know, I'm interviewing him. He's answering questions. And all of a sudden, I see his eyes, like, just light up. And, you know, Tressel's not a, you know, I'm a big guy, and Tressel's not my size. And he looks up over my shoulder and has this look of horror on his face, and he grabs me and starts yanking me off the field. And I'm wondering what in the world is going on behind me that he's willing to break this interview up to yank me off the field. So I still got the microphone in his face, and I'm moving with him. And so Trump was like telling me as we're moving, hey, the band's coming on the field. They're more important than us. We got to get out of here. And so I just did what I could. I kept the microphone near his mouth. I asked him another question after we got off the field, and apparently it came off pretty well, pretty comical during the interview. But I'm worried about that, as I'm getting on a tangent here, I'm worried about that with Paterno, because Joe can't move like he used to. You know, he was in the press box most of the season last year, and he's had the hip replacement, and so he can move better now, and he's back down on the field, but he can't move like he used to. And so I'm worried about this band incident. If this occurs with the Penn State band, I'm going to be the guy responsible for getting Joe Paterno trampled on senior day at Beaver Stadium. And I don't want that. So now as Joe is marching towards me, and he's all ticked off, he's been cursing out everybody on the sidelines, he's been yelling at players and coaches and everything. So Joe's amped up. He's walking towards me, and so I'm trying to decide what's the proper way to time this up here. Because Joe is known for embarrassing a few sideline reporters during some games here and there, and he gets away with it because he's Joe Paterno. You know, he's older, and he's, you know, he's got a little, I don't know, he's got a little quirky thing about him that people pretty much accept it. But, you know, he's gotten a couple of prominent sideline reporters during some games just if they ask a question that he doesn't quite think is real feasible, or, you know, if he's just not really feeling the interview, he's trying to get in the locker room and give you the one-word or two-word thing and then just look at you and kind of sneer, really not look at you, sneer at you, where he's just wanting this to end. So I don't want that to happen with me and Joe Pye. So I got all these things running through my head, and Joe Pye's approaching me, and so I don't get too close yet, and I kind of call out to him as I'm walking. I'm basically walking away from him as he's walking at me, and I'm kind of taking a pursuit angle where I want to head off Joe to get to meet him in the end zone, because if I get him on the 20 or the 30 and the band storms the field and they start the halftime show, that's not going to be good. So I want to meet Joe in the end zone. I call out to him, hey, Joe, you know, where can we meet at, and can we get in the end zone? And I don't care, you know, just go wherever we got to go. So he's telling me, you know, he'll do it wherever. We get in the end zone, ask him a couple of questions, boom, done. We get in, we get out, so we're good. get to the post-game interview, that was better because Penn State played better in the second half, and his energy, his mood was up at that point. So, got another run-in coming up with Joe Pye at the Capital One Bowl. That was my long, drawn-out way of explaining that that was going to take place. But I'm excited about also doing the Orange Bowl, so all you Iowa Hawkeye fans listening in and anyone else that might be heading down to Miami, I will be there as well, covering that game for the Big Ten Network. Myself and Brent Stover will actually be tag-teaming the game for BTN. We'll be there a couple of days before the game. We'll do some previews, do a few interviews with some coaches, some players. I'll give you a little bit of insight on, you know, the matchup between Iowa and Georgia Tech, how I'm seeing things possibly playing out during the game. And we're going to be in South Beach, so that might be fun. I don't know. I haven't been to South Beach since actually the last time Iowa played in the Orange Bowl. My wife and I went as spectators, and they got drubbed by USC. So I'll just put that on the table for you guys who may not remember that. But South Beach was fun in 2002, so it might still be fun now. I don't know, but we'll see how that goes. If it hasn't gotten much less fun, then it should be an enjoyable trip, and it will, of course, be a great opportunity to be a part of the Big Ten Network coverage of the game. So, show's going to be wide open today. No guests. I'm going to try to get in a number of other topics as we move forward. Quaker Homes inbox is open. You can email me at bigantnow@live.com, BIGANTNOW@live.com. You can also call the LS4 hotline, 888-346-9144, 888-346-9144. Going to get through some college topics, a couple of the coaching changes, the impressive Heisman Trophy speech from Mark Ingram from Saturday night, and also talk a little Big Ten. Big Ten is considering expanding yet again. This came up about a decade ago. Going to get into that a little bit. And then get into some NFL, too. A couple of 13-0 teams. What should the approaches be for the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts? Both in two separate situations right now. The Colts have everything completely locked up with three regular season games to go and knowing that they will have a bye coming up in the first round. So they've got over a month before they play another meaningful game. We have seen Indianapolis in this situation so many times in recent years. First time, though, we've seen them in this situation with Jim Caldwell as the head coach as opposed to Tony Dungy. What will the Caldwell approach be as opposed to the Dungy approach? Very interested to find that out and also to see the New Orleans Saints in this role for the first time. They don't have everything locked up yet, but they're certainly getting close. They got the NFC South locked up. Still trying to get home field throughout the playoffs, so that may take them another week or two. Get into a little bit more detail about that later in the show as well. So, of course, as always, college and NFL football. Going to put the poll question out when we come back from this first break. So stay tuned right here at the Game Plan. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Pelzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable, no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives, as well as assisting others around them. Listen to the Dave Pelzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
I actually had a caller on the line over the break, Dan Miller. So appreciate Dan calling in there. Didn't come on the air with us. He'll actually be calling back, trying to touch bases with Des Clark, who comes on the air after I do here on Voice America Sports. So certainly stay tuned right here to listen to Des Clark's show. Great guy. Crossed paths a couple of times as I was still playing in the league. Des much, much, much older than I am. I'm only 30. I guess Des has got to be in his 27th year in the league now or something like that. But Still holding it down, still getting it done out there with the Bears, sharing the tight end position with Greg Olsen. I would hope he's taught Greg a few things over the years. But, yeah, Des Clark on the air right after me. And one of the things Dan mentioned was that he's a Phoenix area guy and heard me mentioning the USC game that they played against Iowa back in, I guess it was after the 2002 regular season, the 2003 Orange Bowl. I headed out there to check that out. Really, the pinnacle moment of that game, it's funny looking back at it now. I mean, it wasn't funny the way it finished up at the time, but at that moment, Iowa actually ran back the opening kickoff of the game, and that's kind of turned into the kiss of death in some of the big games over the years where Iowa runs back. I believe it was C.J. Jones ran back the opening kickoff against USC in that game in the Orange Bowl, where a lot of folks actually felt like those one-loss teams, Iowa and USC, were the two best teams in the country. And a lot of folks built up that Orange Bowl as the kind of poor man's national championship game because, you know, folks felt like maybe Ohio State and Miami weren't really the better teams that year. USC goes on to defeat Iowa in that game. But Iowa runs back to opening kickoff. We're all in the stands. Everyone's going nuts. We're thinking, okay, they're going to do it. You know, what an amazing season is going to end this way. And then USC just took over from there. I believe the final score was maybe 38-17 or something like that. You know, the Brad Banks, Mo Brown team, Fred Russell, a lot of great players, but didn't quite have enough for USC that day. But the whole kiss of death thing, running back to opening kickoff, you know, Iowa did it in that game and went on to lose. Ohio State did it, I believe, the following year. Ted Ginn Jr., or was it 2 years later? Ted Ginn Jr. ran back the opening kickoff of the national championship game against Florida, and then they just get drubbed by the Gators. Yeah, that was the following year. And Chicago Bears did it a couple of years after that in the Super Bowl, where Devin Hester runs back to opening kickoff of the Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts. Bears go on to lose. And there's one other that's not occurring to me either, but just as I was talking to Dan for a second over the break there, made that just kind of stand out in my mind for a second. It's kind of weird how these things end up happening. I told you I was going to put out the poll question. I want to make sure I get that out. I'm not getting it here until the second segment. Some of the things that have been occurring in football throughout the season, where you look at some of the coaches that have either already gotten fired, as Mark Mangino has, or resigned, but, you know, forced to resign by Kansas because of his treatment of players. Jim Leavitt, the coach at South Florida, now in hot water because of some of his interactions with the players, both in the locker room and on the practice field. Apparently he's put his hands on a guy and smacked him around in the face a little bit or something like that, you know, allegedly. I don't know exactly, because the reports have not fully been released yet. It's just a report that's come out on a certain website saying that he's had some physical altercations, let's put it that way, with some players. And also on the field, not just dealing with the coaches, but a lot of the flags, a lot of the personal fouls for defensive backs coming in and targeting receivers, whether defenseless or otherwise, leading with the heads, big hits on those players, and then also just in the cornerbacks. I mean, you can't even look angrily at a quarterback, it seems, these days, or breathe on him, or however you want to put it, without getting some kind of personal foul penalty, falling around his legs. Even if you're trying to avoid the guy and you come near his legs, you get flagged sometimes. They err on the side of caution in these situations. So my poll question is football getting soft at the major college and professional level? It's a different game now than our fathers played, and, you know, I suppose really to some degree a different game than I watched, and I'd say then what I played as I played the game as well through the 90s and up into the 2000s until I retired a few years ago. Do you feel that the game of football is getting soft at the major college and professional football level? So, again, the email is BIGANTNOW@live.com. BigAntNow@live.com is the Quaker Homes inbox. Go ahead and shoot me an email. Give me your take on that poll question. Is football getting soft at the major college and professional levels? I'll go ahead and give you my take on the answer to that question. And feel free to call in 888-346-9144 to the LS4 hotline. You can talk to me about that if you want to get on the air as well. When you look at each situation, you know, you look at the coaches, Mark Mangino, and then you look with his situation in Kansas being let go, and then you look at Jim Leavitt, and now his situation is starting to develop at South Florida. These are guys who are in a position of power over the young men that they coach. And I, of course, can obviously speak from personal experience with the influence that the coaches have over the players. When you talk about a head coach, especially a head coach, but even when you talk about coordinators, position coaches, the guys that you deal with on a regular basis, they have a certain amount of power that they can wield over those players, and it's almost like you can even put it in kind of comic book terms where you say, are you using your powers for good or for evil when you're dealing with these athletes? And really, I don't think you can put any one coach, you know, under one umbrella and say that that is the one way that that individual acts all the time. I've been coached hard by a lot of different individuals throughout my career. And even in my brief time as a coach over the last few years, I've interacted with different coaches that have different approaches to it. And even I suppose my players would probably say I'm hard on them as a coach in certain situations. I don't think that you want to take one moment and encapsulate a coach and say that that's the only way that he has ever treated a player. Even when you look at the poster boy for hard coaching, a guy like a Bobby Knight, you will find more players who played for Knight that came through the ranks at Indiana that will tell you that Bobby Knight had a positive influence on them, both as a player and on the man that they ended up becoming, than you will his detractors who say that he was either too hard on me or he was abusive on me. And that doesn't mean that either side is wrong in that instance. Everyone has their own individual interaction with a coach, with their teammates, with your spouse, whatever it may be. And I think what happens in the media a lot of times, and after things hit the airwaves, when there's that one story that can be latched onto and someone can gravitate to that, it tends to become that individual. And so you want to plaster that person over the airwaves of television, of radio, and say that this is them in a nutshell. That one moment, whatever it may be, That's the part of this situation that I think is unfair with individuals that live in the public light. Now, Mark Mangino, there appeared to be several different instances that people touched on and that leaked to the media, or that, you know, former players stepped up and said that they had been mistreated. So there's definitely a possibility that Mark Mangino is just a big jerk, just an a-hole, just this power-hungry guy that, you know, that wields his power over everyone else and, you know, just lords it over the top of him. And, you know, maybe there's not much positive that comes from that. But there were some players that did come out and speak positively about him. Look forward to seeing how it plays out here with Jim Leavitt at South Florida, because now the player and the father in that incident have already started to retract their statements a bit and say that, well, he didn't quite choke him by the throat. You know, it was more he was trying to motivate him, and he kind of grabbed him, and he didn't really slap him in the face or hit him in the face, but there was some contact, and who knows. But he's been the one coach that South Florida has ever had, and he's led that program to prominence. But that doesn't excuse if he is abusing his power at that school. But the one moment that he had in the locker room, whatever it ended up being, whether it was a positive moment or a negative moment, should not on its own define what Jim Leavitt is as a person or what he's done at that school as a coach. So I'd always try to urge people to be careful about that, about using one incident to say that this is who that person is, because we are all so complex as individuals that I really think it's a mistake to take any one moment and say that that's who that person is. Now, concussions are a different thing because, I'm going to go ahead and say, if I'm answering my own poll question, I'm going to say that, yeah, there are ways that football's getting soft, but I'm starting to come around and think that it's necessary. When you see all the circumstances that have happened this year, from Ben Roethlisberger to Brian Westbrook to Kurt Warner to DeSean Jackson, you know, concussions are becoming more and more prevalent, it seems, as the game becomes bigger, faster, more violent. Technology can only go so far with the pads and with the helmets. And the speed of the game, the athletes involved in the game are going to continue to get bigger, stronger, and faster. That's just what it comes down to. Your brain, your internal organs, your joints can only handle so much force. And some of the rules changes and some of the ways that the NFL and the college game are starting to emphasize being cautious with the way they flag flagrant penalties and personal fouls, I do think it makes a lot of sense, because they only have so many opportunities to protect a guy, especially as prevalent as concussions are becoming. So in my opinion, I do applaud the NFL and the game of football for some of the strides that they're starting to try to make to protect the players, because when it comes down to it, they're the guys that are out there putting their bodies on the line. The people in the stands can clap as loud as they want to. They can cheer or boo as loud as they want. The coaches can coach as hard as they want to, but it's the guys in between the line that are laying their body down for the entertainment of the people watching this game. And so I think whatever steps they can take in protecting the players, they should certainly continue in those strides. So when I come back, I'm going to get into some of the other coaching changes, and also talk some NFL football. I'm going to see if I can get into a little bit of fantasy football before the end of the show as well, because in the Pride and Glory Fantasy Football League, we've got our championship game coming up this week, and guess who's in it? So I got my last break coming up here with the game plan. We'll be right back in just a moment. I'm going to get into some of those other topics as well. Stay tuned.
To the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
If you're thinking of starting a business or are already in business, tune in as the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur addresses business ownership concerns. Business novice or not, let the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur help you each week as we present and discuss the meat and potato issues of starting and running a business. Join the discussion. There's always room for your thoughts and opinions. The Kitchen Table Entrepreneur is a valuable program you should be tuning into every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
All right, got a couple of emails here to the Quaker Homes inbox. Again, the email is BigAntNow@live.com. That's BigAntNow@live.com. You can also give me a call, 888-346-9144. That is the LS4 hotline, 888-346-9144. Read a couple of emails before I move on here. I want an email from Laura. Laura has no location down here, but Laura says, Big Ant, I agree, football is starting to get soft. I cannot stand all the flags that they throw during these games. I appreciate your email there, Laura. I hope you listened to my whole take on it, where I do think that there's a purpose for the flags that are getting thrown during the games, because the whole protecting the players aspect of it, maybe you might have wrote that as I was starting the whole, yeah, I think it's getting soft thing. Maybe you listened to it afterwards. But the protection of the players is the reason that they're starting to flag a lot of these situations much more closely than they did early on. And also got an email here from Mike in Wilmington. Mike in Wilmington, let me read this real quick here before I start spitting it out on the air. What's Mike talking about here? Oh, cool. Mike in Wilmington says, Big Ant, love watching you on the Big Ten Network. Looking forward to seeing you during the bowl season. Roll Tide. Roll Tide from Wilmington. I don't believe there's a Wilmington, Alabama, but who knows? Maybe those Tide fans are just nationwide. I was thinking Wilmington, I don't know, Connecticut, maybe? I'm not sure. Didn't have a state on there. But no matter what, appreciate the emails either way, both Mike and Laura. All right, want to congratulate Turner Gill. I'm going to get into a little bit of big talk here in a second, but he was the coach of Buffalo over the last couple of years, former Nebraska quarterback, African-American coach that has now gotten the Kansas job, which is vacated by Mark Mangino. They did go through what sounded like somewhat of an extensive search, considered Jim Harbaugh, the coach from UConn. Turner Gill ended up being the guy that got the job at Kansas. And this was a situation where they basically decided to go completely in the opposite direction of who the previous coach was. Turner Gill appears to be the antithesis of Mark Mangino. Mangino, a very fiery guy, you know, extremely demanding of the players, you know, not scared to get in their face, get on the players, the coaches, everybody else. Turner Gill has a much more, monotone approach, an even keel approach to coaching, I guess would be a way I could describe what I've seen from Turner Gill so far. And when you have a high-profile move that gets made, and by high-profile, I'm not even saying that it's always one of the top-tier programs, because really when you look at Kansas, they've only had a couple of good years, and Mark Mangino has been the guy who's led them to those great years in recent years with his 12-1 season a couple of years ago. Team goes to the Orange Bowl, first BCS game in Kansas history. So he had plenty of success there, but I mean more the programs where maybe there was a little bit of controversy surrounding the departure of the coach, I guess would be a way I could describe it. And Mark Mangino, with his firebrand kind of style, dealing with the players and the staff and the administration at Kansas, it seems to be a thing where, you know, a lot of times when a situation like this happens where a coach is now leaving a program, they feel a need to go in the opposite direction because of the perception and the scrutiny that goes with the departure of the previous guy. It seems like the best next step sometimes is to have someone who at least can be deemed as the opposite of what we disliked about the previous guy. And so now, you know, if we dislike Mark Mangino for being kind of an angry, fiery coach, and if we feel like he may have abused some of the players here, then, you know, let's get a guy who is certainly different from him, and maybe that will help smooth the transition with the new staff that comes in and appease some of the folks that didn't like the approach of the last guy. And that seems to be what happened here with Turner Gill. And there were some elements of that in the coaching change that happened when I was at Iowa. You know, obviously Hayden Fry had more success than anyone had ever had there at Iowa. He was beloved while he was there. But if there was any one thing as Coach Fry retired and as the search by Bob Bowlesby, the search for the new coach took place, part of the thought was, well, let's find the guy that's maybe a little bit more of a disciplinarian, maybe a guy that's a little bit more detail-oriented with his approach for himself and with the way he demands that of the players on his team. And so where, you know, maybe some folks thought it was a slam dunk that Bob Stoops would end up being the head coach, I think part of the reason that maybe Kirk Ferentz ended up being the hire there, aside from, you know, obviously he interviewed well and Stoops knew he would be a great coach and whatnot. I mean, not Stoops, Bowlesby knew he would be a great head coach. But a difference in perception from his approach to where maybe some people felt like at the end of Coach Fry's tenure that some places that the program possibly slacked off at the end. So if this was what was viewed as a weakness with one coach going out the door, then let's make sure we've got a guy who we can emphasize these same elements as a strength with the new guy that comes in. Or even if it's not a strength, but you got to be able to sell it when you make a move like this. When you make a high-profile move, you got a big-time program, you're bringing in a different coach, you have to have something that you can sell to the administration, to the boosters, to the fan base and say, if this is what you thought was lacking in the previous coach, this is why the new guy will be different and great. Even if it's not true, you just need someone who's close enough in that vein where you can give it that perception. And so, you know, interesting to see how it plays out. Wish Turner Gill all the best. The 11th black head coach now in major college football, the Division I-A ranks, the FBS schools, there's about 120 of them. He is now number 11 as far as a current African-American head coach, and that's a new all-time high. There have never been 11 black head coaches at the same time in Division I football. So, congrats to Turner. Wish him all the best. Notre Dame, just to touch on them for a moment, I would say that they had a bit of a different approach in the hiring of Brian Kelly, where really the big slight against the Notre Dame program has been that, yeah, you got a bunch of guys that can score, and the offense is doing great, especially recently here under Charlie Weiss, but you need a better defense. And so if Notre Dame was going to have that same approach, they probably would have said, well, let's get a defensive coach in here. The thing is, I don't know that there were really any splash hires for a defensive coach available. So really, they've replaced an offensive-minded guy who is an excellent offensive coordinator, and they've replaced him with another great offensive coordinator. So Notre Dame, in turn, you would imagine, should continue to score a bunch of points next year, but the challenge for Brian Kelly will not be to see if he can outscore all the opponents, but the challenge for Brian Kelly, now that it's official, now that he's accepted the job as the Irish leader, the challenge for him will be, can he stop anybody on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, just come up with some kind of defense. You hire a big-time coordinator, pay more attention to that side of the ball yourself. I don't believe it's at the point where it's impossible to win at Notre Dame, but they're going to have a guy that will focus on the defensive side of the ball. Tyrone Willingham is the only guy that's a defensive-minded coach, at least in my time that I've watched, in my generation of watching Notre Dame football. You know, I was born in the late 70s, so the 80s, the 90s, and today, the 2000s, you know, we've had Lou Holtz, we've had Bob Davey, we've had Tyrone Willingham, we've had Charlie Weiss. We do not count George O'Leary, who never coached a game, even though he was hired. The whole resume deal took place, and now we've had Charlie Weiss. Tyrone Willingham, the only guy that was a defensive coach in anyone I just listed, he only got 3 years. Everyone else got 5 years. But aside from that, a bunch of offensive guys, and we've seen the direction the program has taken. So looking forward to seeing how things play out with the Irish. It's a couple of minutes in this segment before we get to our final break, but a little fantasy football happening here, so I'm going to touch on that just a bit here at the end. The Pride and Glory Fantasy Football League coming up to the championship game this weekend, and I believe this is that time of year between this weekend and next weekend when a lot of the fantasy football leagues are going to be getting into their championship games. I finished the regular season 10-2, and now I'm in postseason play here. Of course, I've won the first couple of postseason games, championship bracket against the other team that was 10-2. And so now it's this battle of the Titans kind of thing that we've got going here. On my roster, I've had Drew Brees as the starting quarterback throughout the season. So, of course, he scored plenty of points. I mean, really, I drafted pretty well, and then I made a couple of key acquisitions. Drew Brees, of course, has scored plenty of points for me. Chris Johnson has been out of this world and, you know, approaching different rushing records and whatnot and total offense records for the organization, for the NFL and everything. I had to upgrade the receiving core throughout the season where I had Ocho Cinco on the roster from right off the bat, and I had Wes Welker. Welker's been in and out of the lineup different points earlier in the season, so I had to stay patient with him, but he's come around with plenty of receptions. Chad Johnson has come through with some key touchdowns. I added Anquan Boldin, which was huge for me. So now I've gone to a three-receiver lineup with two running backs as opposed to vice versa. I drafted Vernon Davis very, very late in the draft, but that was a huge pickup for me because he's turned into the top-scoring tight end where he was my number two. But after he started putting up huge numbers, then I had to start him. So having Vernon Davis in the lineup has been huge. And then the Vikings defense and the Vikings kicker, They've led me to this point. And so now I got my championship game coming up this weekend. I'll tell you a little bit about my opponent's lineup and give you maybe a few sticks and kicks like Freezy the Bully would do. We come back from this last break, get into a little bit more NFL talk closing up the show too. So we'll be right back after our last break. You're listening to The Game Plan with Big Ant.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
There is so much complexity behind intimate connections. Wouldn't you like a better understanding into the how and why of how intimate connections are formed, how they deepen, and how they are broken? Tune in to the Intimacy Connection with Dr. Raymond Jones to learn more about the different facets of adult connections. It's an audio guidebook to why relationships form, flourish, or break apart as they do. The Intimacy Connection, live every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down. And I'm getting into Coach Ant mode at this point, because the college football season is now coming down to a close. It's winding down. We got the bowl games that are going to start this weekend somehow already. We got some bowl games happening. Then I got my couple of bowl games, like I told you, for the Big Ten Network, covering the Capital One Bowl, New Year's Day, Penn State and LSU. Then on the 5th, I'm going to be covering the Orange Bowl, pitting University of Iowa Hawkeyes versus Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So as college football is coming to a close now, the indoor season, the arena football season, and I finished my career as a player the last couple of years after I played in the NFL for a number of years, played arena football for a couple of years, and now I coach. I've coached arena football the last couple of years. Now, franchise was the Tennessee Valley Vipers of AF2, the Arena 2 Football League, which was the feeder system, basically, the minor league for Arena 1. Excuse me. And so now the Tennessee Valley Vipers have become the Alabama Vipers, and we will be participating in Tier 1, the upper tier of the Arena Football League. And so now that the indoor season is getting ready to get rolling, like different teams had their first open tryout this past weekend, and we had one. We'll be having another one. Oh, excuse me. We'll be having another one coming up here sometime next month, and so I'll get that update out to you when we get that set up. But excited about this, because it's gonna push arena football, at least that some of the Arena 2 teams that have gone up to Arena 1, and now we'll be able to compete at more of what would be considered an elite level of football, where Arena 2 players, you know, those are guys hoping to get up to Arena 1 and then hoping to maybe get on to the CFL or the NFL from there. And so now this bump up, now that the Arena League will come back in full force, whereas Arena 1 took last season off, they canceled the year, they had to get some financial things straightened out. And so now the league has been restructured, and the new form will have a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 set up where there'll be a direct relationship between organizations, and it'll set up more like baseball now, where you can have an Arena 2 team where a player will get pulled up to Arena 1, and, you know, Arena 1 team will be able to check out their talents, and then maybe they'll bump them back down to Arena 2 at some point, who knows. But it should really increase the level of talent, the level of playmaker that's out there on the field. And there was already excellent talent at the Arena 2 level. There's no doubt about that. But I think there'll be more depth and consistency of that talent level league-wide now, because we'll be out there competing against some of the bigger markets, the Chicago's, the Phoenix, Arizona's, some of those types of programs. So us and the Spokane Shock, who we won the championship in 2008, the Shock won the championship this past season, so we're two of the Arena 2 teams that will now be up in Tier 1 competing at the higher level. So certainly looking forward to that, and I'll start keeping you more updated on some of the arena football happenings as we're transitioning out of the outdoor season and getting the arena season going. They're hoping to get a TV deal in place with the league, and so I'll let you know as that starts getting figured out as well, so you can know where to catch a lot of arena football action coming up here. But if you haven't seen it, if you haven't been to a game in person, if you're a person that likes a lot of points being scored, you like explosive plays, you like the ball to remain in play as the nets are set up in the Arena Football League to keep the ball in play, to keep the action moving, believe me, arena football is the game for you. So certainly looking forward to continuing my relationship with what's now the Alabama Vipers, who, like I said, we won the championship in 2008. So when you see me on television, when I got that big rock on my hand as I'm holding the microphone, that's my Arena Football championship ring. I never won a Super Bowl, never won a BCS title or anything like that when I was in college. But as a coach, I won an Arena Football title. That's the ring I wear on television. Who knows? I mean, a lot of people just assume it's a Super Bowl ring or something. I mean, it looks the part. Everyone's always asking me about it. So that's my credibility I wear on my hand right there. That's my championship ring that I won as a coach. The NFL. We got, of course, two teams that are still undefeated right now, the Colts and the Saints, both sitting at 13-0. They're both in a situation right now where they got to figure out how to play out the rest of the season. And the Colts have been, like I was touching on earlier, have been in this situation several times over the years where they've got the AFC South locked up, and they have to determine whether or not it's worth continuing to play their starters in the remaining weeks of the regular season. They're 13-0 again for the second time in just the last few years. I mean, this should really be a rare bird, but it seems like the Colts find themselves in this spot every year. And really, I think what it's going to end up turning into, if they don't win another Super Bowl here within the next year or two, the Colts are going to be the Atlanta Braves of the NFL, that team that dominated a decade, had more wins in the regular season than anyone else, and only came out with one championship to show for it. And, you know, you got Peyton Manning in the role of quarterback, Reggie Wayne at wide receiver, and, of course, Dallas Clark has been there at tight end for several years now, some of the offensive line that's been in place. But you got some of these same playmakers, but it's these guys in the role of Greg Maddux, of Tom Glavine, of Chipper Jones, these great players, these high-level, all-pro caliber players that have only been at that championship level just the one time. And with the Braves, there are several other teams that have won Super Bowls in that time. With the Colts, they've had to compete against two of the other top organizations in the decade, in the Pittsburgh Steelers and, of course, the New England Patriots. And they've been knocked out by both of these teams at different points in postseason play. And so it's an unfortunate thing where, you find yourself competing against other great franchises, but if you want to be remembered in that all-time great vein, this will have to be the season that the Colts get over the hump yet again and knock one of these teams out in the postseason, if the Steelers even make it to the postseason. But I think to really, cap off this decade of the early 2000s here, the aughts, the aught ones through the aught nine, the Colts are going to need a title. So I think their best bet is going to be to go ahead and continue to play the starters. Caldwell already told us he's going to do it this Thursday night when they play. I think he should at least dress them and play them in the last couple of games as well to keep some momentum going. At least take like a preseason approach, the third game of the preseason where your starters are going to play the first half or so, and then maybe you start resting a few key parts here and there. You, of course, take Peyton Manning out of the lineup maybe at halftime, put Jim Sorgi or whoever else in there, take Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, take some of those guys out, Dwight Freeney. You know, you've got backups you can use and then keep those guys ready. But if you lose the momentum at this point in the season, we have seen that the Colts cannot rebuild that momentum once the postseason arises. And so I think take a lesson from your recent past, Indianapolis, not anyone else's. You've been in this situation. Play your guys. The Saints are actually in good shape, I think, because of the fact that they don't have everything wrapped up. They've got a two-game lead as far as home field goes over the Minnesota Vikings with three games to play. So it's probably going to take them, it's definitely going to take them at least another week and probably another 2 weeks or more if they lose one of these games to get it wrapped up for sure. So I think that's a good thing for the Saints because they will have that carrot out there in front of them, leaving something remaining on the plate to play for. That's a great situation to be in heading into postseason play because they've been the best team in the NFL throughout the year. And if they want to keep that momentum going, they've certainly got to keep that high level of play going as the regular season finishes up. Speaking of finishing up, you know what the Jungle Boogie means. That means I'm about to head out of here, but I appreciate the emails. Appreciate the phone call from Dan. Even though you wanted to catch Dez Clark, Dan, you can go ahead and keep tuning into the game plan here. Feel free to do that. And everyone else out there listening. Stay tuned week after week, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on voiceamerica.com. Make sure you check out the Big Ten Network, all the bowl covers we're going to do as well. So, for Laura, for Mike, my emailers, and all the listeners, thank you very much. Keep doing your thing, America. Let's do it better.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.